Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. God, I praise you in this place tonight. I adore you and I exalt you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, I praise you, Jesus. And Psalm 149, I want to read. I want to begin there with verse 1. Did you enjoy the service last night? God's calling us into a higher place of praise, a higher place of worship, because He wants to have a closer, more intimate relationship with us. Anybody interested in coming closer to Jesus tonight? Oh, I'd like to leave this place more Christian than I was when I walked in here. I'd like to leave closer to the Lord than I was when I walked in here. Psalm 149 and verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. Sing unto the Lord a new song, and His praise in the congregation of the saints. Just let me say right here tonight that it's of the saints. Just let me say right here tonight that it's not time to have your own private little camp meeting, because we've come together to worship corporately, unite ourselves together. And so tonight I want you to help them people sitting on your pew give God praise and give Him glory and give Him honor. Don't sit around waiting on your special feeling, but unite yourselves together with the rest of the body. Now let's worship God like a congregation. Amen? It's time the body of Christ got coordinated enough to move together in the presence of the Lord. Let Israel rejoice in Him that made him. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their King. Let them praise His name in the dance. Let them sing praises unto Him with the timbrel and harp. For the Lord taketh pleasure in His people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth, and a two-edged sword in their hand, to execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishments upon the people, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute upon them the judgment written. This honor have all His saints. Praise ye the Lord. Now we'll preach from verse number 6, where it says, let the high praises of God be in their mouth, and a two-edged sword in their hand. And tonight I want to talk about worshiping God aggressively. In this verse of Scripture, it's almost as if there's a misprint in the word where he said, let the high praises of God be in your mouth and a two-edged sword in your hand. The first part of that verse sounds real nice. The latter part of that verse sounds like war. The combination, the results of this verse comes in verse 7, 8, 9, when the church begins to worship God aggressively. Your worship becomes a two-edged sword against the attacks of your adversary. And you cannot expect to have victory over all the powers of the heathen and evil nations and evil people and judgments that come against you from your adversary by passively sitting in our pews on Sunday, whispering hallelujah, occasionally raising your hand. But if we are going to wage a good warfare that will bring victory over our adversary, we're going to have to turn our worship into a two-edged sword and become aggressive in our worship. How many of you want to discover tonight the power of God that is in your worship so that you can wage a good warfare and have victory over all the power of your adversary? Lift up your hand right now, Jesus' name. I want you to lift that other hand up and ask God to let His Word be revelation to you, that your life would be transformed. Father, in the name of Jesus, why don't you do something? I don't know how you're going to do it. But I don't know how you're going to bring about this Word in our hearts and in our lives so that it would live on the inside of us and cause our worship to be transformed into a two-edged sword, that we may wage war against our adversary and walk in victory and in power. But God, I thank you, Lord, for doing it now in every heart and in every life in this place. Raise up little boys and little girls that know how to worship you aggressively. One more time, God, move upon the blood-bought church of Jesus Christ to arise with the high praise of God in her mouth and a two-edged sword in her hand, that we may wage war against our adversary and walk in victory and in power. And Lord, I'll give you the glory and the praise for it in Jesus' name. You know, but tell somebody, God wants you to worship Him aggressively. You can be... Sorry to say, you can be seated. If you can, without even asking to stand there together. Hallelujah. I looked up the word aggressive, and this word aggressive means hostile or attacking or militant, and some people may feel like that has nothing at all to do with worship. But the root word for aggressive is to aggrieve, and it means to bring pain, to bring suffering, and to bring injury. And we need to discover tonight that when we begin to worship God, it not only brings glory and honor unto Him and blesses His kingdom, but it brings pain and suffering and injury to Satan and his kingdom. And God is calling upon the church to worship Him tonight. And I said last night, not just because He's worthy and not just because He deserves it, but because He desires to bless the worshiper, and He knows that there is a devil loose. And He has placed the church in planet Earth to finish the work that Jesus started, and that was to destroy the works of the devil. And we're not fighting a warfare against flesh and blood. And the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but the Bible says they are mighty through God, even to the pulling down of strongholds. We're not going to be able to wage a good warfare complaining about the problems of our society, complaining about the works of the devil and all the evil that is abounding on every hand. We're going to have to wage war against our adversary and against the evil that is loose in this nation and in the world through our worship. A worshiping church is a victorious church. Somebody shout amen. Now God is up to something tonight. And He's up to something far more than just cultivating a band of humble, meek, quiet, gentle worshipers. But tonight God is trying to raise up a mighty army of triumphant warriors who know how to put the high praises of God in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand and execute judgment upon the adversary that is destroying this nation and this world with his evil and with his wickedness. Somebody shout amen. And this is what God is talking about in Psalm 149 when He speaks of the high praises of God in your mouth and in the same breath a two-edged sword in your hand. He's calling us to worship Him aggressively. He is saying to us, stop waiting for an attack from your adversary, but launch an all-out attack against your adversary with your worship. It's amazing at how close we can get to God when we're in a crisis. It's amazing how good we can pray when tragedy strikes our home. But Daniel is a dynamic example of worshiping God aggressively, even in the face of his enemies. The Bible said he prayed 3 times a day. Those that were against him found fault with that, and they tried to stop him from prayer, and they threw him in that den of lions. The thing that is so aggressive about Daniel is he didn't wait till he was in the lion's den to do his praying. He didn't wait for the crisis. He didn't wait for the tragedy. He didn't wait on the attack of the devil to give God his aggressive worship. But long before there was a crisis, long before there was a tragedy, Daniel prayed aggressively 3 times a day. And when he met up with the lions, he had the power, the courage, the strength, and the confidence to walk right out of a lion's den. And God is wanting to raise up the church just like he raised Daniel out of the lion's den. But we've got to prepare ourselves now before the crisis, before the attack, before tragedy comes. We must be prepared for our adversary. And I'm here to tell somebody in this house, don't wait till the devil attacks your child. Don't wait till he attacks your husband or your wife. Don't wait till some kind of tragedy or crisis moves in before you decide to get down to business with God and worship him with all that you have within you. Go ahead right now and give God your worship and receive strength and power from heaven, so that you can fight against the devil when he attacks your home and your family. And there's people in this building right now, the devil's been torturing your mind. He's been tormenting your family and your home. What you need to do is worship God aggressively, because your worship will drive back the attack of the devil and bring victory into your home and into your life. Oh, praise him, somebody. I want to look at 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Now, and there's a dramatic scene here about King Jehoshaphat. It's a beautiful picture of aggressive worship. Look at somebody and say, he's talking about aggressive worship. It came to pass, verse 1, it came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them other beside the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. And then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side Syria. And behold, they be in Hazazon Tamar, which is in Gedi. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. Now, I'm preaching about worshiping God aggressively. And I want you to know that I believe that we need a balance in our worship. And last night I did talk about lifting up holy hands, clapping your hands, lifting your voice to the Lord. And I even mentioned dancing before the Lord. And I believe that God likes it and he wants it. But I'm not preaching to you that this is some kind of an emotional thing. I'm preaching to you that this is the way God has ordained for you to fight against the attack of your enemy. It's through your worship. Now, notice in these first 3 verses that Jehoshaphat, he's under man. And if you read this chapter, you'll find out he feels powerless against his adversary. And no doubt in my mind, this must be a church of God that he's pastoring, because he has some members that comes running right straight to the pastor at the first sign of a problem in the church. Somebody say, amen. Jehoshaphat has some people from his congregation that run to him, and they say, there is a multitude from the enemy's camp that is coming against you. Somebody say, amen. Now, If you don't know this, you'll know it. If you live long enough, you'll find this out. It's a funny feeling that you'll get it right in the bottom of your belly whenever bad news comes. For instance, if you go to the doctor and the doctor tells you that there's nothing else that he can do for you and you've only got a couple of weeks left to live, that'll put a funny feeling in the bottom of your belly. Somebody shout amen. And if you are not an aggressive worshiper that knows how to wage war against your adversary, when that funny feeling grips the bottom of your belly, your nerves will begin to shake and your mind will be filled with worry and fear will invade you and you'll feel helpless and you'll feel weak and you'll just fall all to pieces and you'll start blabbing the bad report everywhere. The doctor said, I was going to die. I only got 2 weeks left. But you let somebody that has gave themselves to God in aggressively worshiping Him and seeking His face, whenever they walk into that doctor's office and that doctor tells them they've got about 2 weeks left to live, amen, they'll look at that doctor and they'll say, you know what, doctor, you may be right. You may know what you're talking about. But for the next 2 weeks, I'm not going to shake. I'm not going to tremble. I'm not going to worry. I'm not going to have a nervous breakdown. But for the next 2 weeks, I'm going to worship my God aggressively. You see, the enemy wants to make the Christian think and feel like in his time of devastation and in his time of trouble, there's nothing at all you can do about it. Just take it as it comes and do the best you can. I want you to know tonight that the Christian is not like a normal person of the world. We have a supernatural ability on the inside of us. And when we begin to give God our praise and our worship, it tears the devil's I feel the Spirit. Praise it, somebody. Your accountant walks in, tells you your business is going to be bankrupt in 3 months. There's nothing at all you can do about it. That put a funny feeling in the bottom of your belly. But if you're an aggressive worshiper, or say maybe you don't have a business. Maybe you work for someone else, and you have a job. And you walk in, and that boss man says, "This is your last day." Hands you your last paycheck. Says, "I'm sorry, we don't have any more work for you." I don't know how I'm going to pay the bills. I don't know how I'm going to buy the groceries. I don't know how I'm going to make ends meet. God, I was depending on this. I was counting on this. That sounds like a normal person, doesn't it? It sounds like a natural reaction, doesn't it? But if you're an aggressive worshiper, you can respond supernaturally. And you can look at that boss man right back in the eye and say, "Hey, listen, don't be upset, the boss man. Don't be all that worried about me, because I wasn't working for you to start with. You wasn't paying my bills in the beginning. My God shall supply all of my need according to His riches and glory." I don't know when the next payday is going to come, but until the next check arrives, I'm going to worship my God aggressively. I don't know where I'm going get the money to pay the house payment, but until it gets here, I'm going to worship my God aggressively. I don't know when I'll get to go back to the grocery store, but until then, I'm going to lift up holy hands and I'm going to worship my God aggressively. I refuse to be discouraged about it. I refuse to be depressed over it. I refuse to get out in the dumps about it. I'm going to lift up my head until the heels from whence cometh my help, and worship my God aggressively. Your companion may walk in and say, "I don't love you anymore. I'm filing for a divorce." Throw yourself into aggressive worship. and say, darling, you may get yourself a lawyer, you may get the papers, but before I sign, I'm going to worship my God aggressively. Come on, saints. I'm talking about aggressive worship. Let me get back up here. I think I'm wrong with this guy. Now, notice the first thing Jehoshaphat does. He feared. That doesn't mean he's afraid. Doesn't mean he's scared. It means he gave honor to where honor was due. It means he began to reverence and respect his God and set himself to seek the Lord. Any of you ever sought after God? Some people seek after the Lord like my baby girl seeks after her tennis shoes just before the bus runs. They wait and do their seeking right at the last moment. And my little girl come running in there to her mother. She said, Mother, where's my tennis shoes? And mother said, well, they're right where you left them. Yeah, but I looked everywhere they're supposed to be. And that's what I see church people doing. They're seeking the Lord in all the places they think He's supposed to be. When they get ready to seek God, they'll show up for Sunday school. And while I didn't get nothing out of the lesson, and they'll stay for morning worship. Well, that preaching didn't do me all that much good. And they'll come back on Sunday night. Well, I didn't get what I needed there. And they'll show up on Wednesday night. God, where are you at? I'm looking for you. I'm looking in all the places you're supposed to be. But you see, when you begin to seek after God, it will require you to look in places you've never looked before. You might have to get up an hour early in the morning and get on your knees. Oh, you need to get up right now and shout unto the Lord with a voice of triumph. Lift up holy hands without wrath or without doubting.